coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. And HagmanStore.com for some really great coffee. Running shotgun with me this election day eve is Randy Taylor. That's right. And but let's bring him on. Randy, how are you? Let's get right down to business.
What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know at all. I want to be really careful tonight. I don't think the story is really today. I don't really think the story is this evening. The story is going to really start after the last poll is closed and when everyone is just kind of waiting. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. This is going to be a circus the next few days. Whatever's said tonight, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Whatever they declare tonight, take it with a grain of salt. This is going to be the strangest election we've ever witnessed. And ballots are going to be coming in for several days. To what degree, I don't know. I mean, if President Trump takes 3/4 of the Electoral College, then those ballots probably wouldn't matter that much. But
right,
people keep thinking that there's going to be some kind of Trump landslide. I wouldn't count on that. And if you're listening to my voice right now and your polling stations are still open.
In the West, they are. Yep.
Get your butt down there and vote. Shut this off. We'll be here when you get back. And vote. Your nation depends on it. I'm telling you, if you're sitting home being complacent and being lazy, you're handing a no vote is a vote for Biden. Remember that.
Precisely. Eric the Tech had a great experience this morning. Now, you want to chime in, Eric the Tech, on your voting experience and let people know? You don't have to speak long. Speak as long as you want, but how was your voting experience this morning? You woke up,
I double-checked my polling location on votespa.gov,
mm-hmm.
and it sent me to a place that wasn't the place I had to go.
God, gee.
And I checked my address a couple times in the form. So I had to go to a different place. Isn't that so my address? Booted me somewhere else.
Yeah.
You should have put in that you were a Democrat.
Probably.
Yeah, you would have got the right place.
I think all Republicans should probably register Democrat.
Yeah, that'd mess them up.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of that today. There's going to be a lot of problems today. I saw a video earlier today about a poll watcher being refused entry into the polls in Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia, yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a mess.
If you don't mind, let's show.
First off,
go ahead.
I think Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, is the key to this whole thing.
It is. You're absolutely right.
And there's going to be a lot of the delay and issues will be out of PA.
Yeah, we should know sometime in 2021 who the president is in Pennsylvania.
No, 2022, because Pelosi is going to have to take her shot at the, it's horrible. It really is. I want to show you a video, Randy and folks. This was, I think, the last video I showed you. This is really a strange comment. I don't know whether you saw this. It was this morning.
Yeah, Biden.
This was the campaign manager.
Okay.
Biden. Check this out. Go ahead. Okay, hang on a second here. We got a wind up the record player.
It was reported yesterday that President Trump believes that if he wins the East Coast battleground states, Florida, North Carolina, and Georgia, he plans to go out and declare victory. And we want to be clear with you, if he tries to do that, that will not be true. We want to be clear with all of you. We want to make sure that we're having this dialogue and share with you what we're seeing, and that we also want to be fundamentally clear what we believe to be true. Under no scenario will Donald Trump be declared a victor on election night, and we think that that's really fundamental to how we want to approach tomorrow.
We're going to be doing coverage on Peacock, and we can assure you if Donald Trump goes out and declares victory, we will be there to say, don't take the feed.
This could play out for a long time. So the first thing, again, the argument that the election ends on election day is a specious argument. Right. It's not a strong legal argument. It again, has no basis in fact.
We're going to know the winner of this election by 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
By what
and
time?
What people are doing is just unnecessarily scaring people and making them unnecessarily nervous.
Those polls become predictive of the outcome. And these are smart professional pollsters in my profession who are doing this. They could very much be a counterweight. If we have those polls with Biden up double digits, but Trump somehow wins, quote unquote, by 1 or 2 points, then something will be rotten in the state of Denmark, and we need to be very vigilant about that. Polls can help democracy in that regard.
As Joe Biden himself has said, if we have concrete evidence that Russia or any other player has interfered in our election again this time, there will be, again, significant consequences. That is very important.
We are trying to make sure that everyone in the press understands the volume of votes that are coming in is like nothing we've ever seen before, and it is going to take time to count. And it's more important that we get a count that is accurate than a count that is fast and might not be accurate. And that's why we will continue to keep you posted. We will be very transparent and give you regular updates, but we want to get this count right.
We will know a lot about Florida on election night. I know all the concerns about Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin because of the way they count the mail-in votes and may take a couple of days afterward. But Florida, we should know.
Do you think, you know Arizona better than anybody, do you think Vice President Biden could actually carry your state?
I do. I really do. Our state has changed. There's a lot of new people have moved in. A lot of young people are very active now. I think we're going to see a change in not only our party politics within Arizona, but I think the state's going to be blue.
I'm looking for a Sun Belt sweep. I think we're going to secure all of those states, and that then puts enormous pressure on Joe Biden because he has to run the table in the upper Midwest, something we don't believe he's capable of doing, particularly if you look at Ohio and Pennsylvania, two critical states. Both of those places are major fracking players. They will not choose Joe Biden, who threatens the energy independence of America.
Hey, Biden, frack you.
Yeah.
So they're pretty strange.
That Carville guy? He looks like one of my missing Halloween decorations.
Blew away in the wind or what?
A strange looking fella.
I'm a little bit concerned because obviously don't count tonight, you know.
Doug, we are reliving 2016. Hillary was the winner by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. And it wasn't until the votes were in. Let's, we'll wait and see. I know there's been a very strong showing for Trump. As far as rallies and things like that, but rallies aren't votes.
That's right.
We'll just have to wait and see. The big key is going to be who voted early. They said close to 100 million votes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a crazy amount.
That's a lot. And we really don't have any data on those votes. Nobody knows except the people, some poor guy sitting there in Schmuckville, Oklahoma, counting votes, goes, well, I've seen more Biden votes than Trump, or vice versa. Nobody knows. And we don't know, and it's like we had discussed before, it has to be such a large margin for Trump that it overcomes even the cheating.
Right.
Okay? But I think today would be a good day to play out different scenarios here. Is, you know, if Trump wins, what happens? If Biden wins, what happens? The one thing that's really been bothering me the last few days, if I may.
Please.
Is Biden gets in it. There's a few things going on right now. Okay, first of all, I would really like to see Nancy Pelosi blown out of her seat. I really would. Okay, I mean, she needs to go.
Yeah.
So I'm curious who the Speaker of the House will be after tonight. The other thing is, let's say Biden does get in. The devil's advocate. What I see happening is, at that time, if he gets in, they will initiate 25th Amendment proceedings against him. His own people will. It has to be his own people. To get him out, move Harris up, and then whoever Speaker of the House is, if it's Pelosi, to try and slide her into the game somehow. There's been too many gaffes. Biden is not playing with a full deck. The Democrats know it. We certainly know it. And you can't honestly expect him to be the President of the United States effectively. He can't. He isn't capable of it, okay? This guy, you know, he needs to be drinking and sure, propped up in a chair, watching TV. That's about it. I mean, he just, I don't know if you guys have really been watching him. The guy is falling apart, and he's been falling apart for the last 6 or 8 months, right before our very eyes.
Randy, why don't we play just a quick Cernovich video from that shows where he's at, his his mental state and how he's declined. You want to, and then we can go from there. What we have a queued up. Go ahead.
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Donald Trump.
I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. I don't think I, you know what? I don't think I sent you the video. That was election night 2016 and, or was it? Okay. I said the wrong one. I'm sorry. All right. Well, I think most people have seen the gaffes, right?
Yeah. The guy's falling apart. And I think that because he tries to come off as Grandpa Joe, they just used him as a bookmark or a placeholder to get Democrats in the White House. That's the whole purpose of Joe Biden. Not that he's going to be an effective president. Not that we know he has no record of accomplishment. Everything he's been bragging about, we really was under Obama. And then if you ask him about something, he's, oh boy, I was only the vice president. You know, I mean, it's so wishy-washy. I'm thinking that tonight, at the end of the night, Trump will look like the winner. If I was him, I would just be cool. Just be cool. Okay? This will all work out. This will all come out. I know there's people that, you know, are about ready to go to war over this. Just chill. Okay? Seriously. Get your vote in. Don't fall into a trap. The left is going to go out and do stupid things tonight. Let law enforcement and the military deal with that. Now, by all means, if you're attacked, you defend yourself. Don't be the aggressor. And I mean that. Okay? If that's necessary down the road, that's a whole other conversation. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Today ain't the day. Today is not. Tonight is not the night. Tomorrow is not the day. Okay? Vote. Vote and pray. But do not pray and be complacent and sit there and think, well, the Lord's will be done. Okay? What do we say? His part we cannot do. Our part he will not do. Ladies and gentlemen, if nothing else gets you up off your butt, think about socialism, communism, and aborted babies.
There you go.
And if you don't think Christians are targets, they've already shut down the churches. Bars were open before churches were open. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Christianity is being wiped away from the face of America by the left. And if you're a devout Christian, you should do something about that. Absolutely do something about it. And you do it today. You get out and vote. And if Trump loses tonight, or he's found to lose over the next several weeks, okay, we'll deal with it then. All right? But today it's about voting. Today, this is what the Republic's about. This is how the democratic process within our Republic works.
Yes.
It was set up for that reason. A lot of people have fought and died for this. Okay? To give you the right to have a say in the future of your life, your country, your family's lives. This is a beautiful thing we have. Okay? So let's go out and take the first steps in protecting it is voting. If you haven't voted, get your butt out there and get it done. Okay? Vote.
You know, exactly. And I think the point's well made on that. And on HagmanReport.com, there is an article about Christians, non-voting Christians, and how wrong that is, how biblically wrong that is. And I, folks, just go to HagmanReport.com. You'll see it. Again, that's where the show prep is. But one of the things you said earlier, and this is something I think that we really need to drive home, is we have to pay attention to what happens next. Because regardless, I studied the tapes, our tapes from 2016. Yesterday, I studied them and looked and, you know, did we have any clear cut answer at, when we left the airwaves? No, we didn't. So, you know, to piggyback off of media, social media, and, it's just not right. But anyway, what you said earlier, I just wanted to point this out. Matt Bracken had wrote a piece, Escape from, or Beware the Mass Urban Exodus. And then there's a picture of Escape from Paris, the city's gridlock. there's a lot of good information in there. And you can find it, folks, the article by Matt Bracken. But what he said was in the American context, it might not be new and more, it might not be new and more draconian COVID-19 lockdowns that spurs a rash of exoduses out of major cities. It could be civil disorder, looting, the rioting that you had referenced earlier, and widespread arson, because they're doing it. I mean, have you seen ever before cities boarded up, National Guard deployed?
No. And as much as I go back and I think about when Obama came into office, I couldn't stand that son of a gun.
Right.
I mean, anybody that knows me, you know, if you go back and you were to read any of the articles prior to him, even when he was still running for office, we had him pegged. Okay. We just nailed him on everything. And everything we said at Northeast Intelligence Network, yep, we were right. We nailed it right on the head, okay? And were the GOP upset, conservatives? You're right, we were mad. Yep. But we didn't go out and burn our cities. It doesn't make sense to burn your cities, okay? People that are out there looting and rioting, they're not about a cause. They're about theft. They're about destruction, mayhem, anarchy. I mean, you saw the videos there in Philadelphia after the guy was shot by a police officer, and they go and they take it out on Walmart. Really, nothing screams social justice like a 52-inch TV.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that evens it up. So don't give me this. See, this is crap. Okay, and anybody, Black Lives Matter, and their social justice, they can kiss my ass. Okay, they're wrong. Excuse me, folks. And yes, my wife still has a bar of soap here for me when I make mistakes on my Hagman report.
Well, you know when you're
ready. Anyway, I'm so fed up with this black. And if you can't see the Black Lives Matter tied in with the Chinese, tied in with the left. I mean, folks, if you can't put this all together in your brain, you shouldn't have a voting card. You really shouldn't, because you're dangerous for yourself and for your family. Okay? And I'm only praying today that there's enough of us to offset your idiot self and get the right vote in, because what you're embarking on is dangerous. This road down Biden and Harris. Look at Kamala Harris. Does that look like something executive you'd want to see representing us to the world? Are you kidding me? Look at her. Just listen to her. Okay? And listen to the promises. Joe Biden is putting out a tweet about every 5 minutes, and you can tell it some campaign staffer pumping this stuff out. One, because the words are spelled correctly, so you know Biden didn't send it out. And it's just stupid, stupid messages. If they were to keep all the promises they've made, we would literally have to turn over 90% of our income just to fuel this turd, huh? Okay? And we would still be short. Their idea of Medicare for all medical insurance for everybody, this, have you not learned anything? Are you not tired of the premiums that you're looking at now for affordable health care? Does somebody need to slap you upside the head with a broomstick or something? Did your parents drop you on your heads? I don't get it. I mean, I think what we're having and what we're experiencing, what I'm seeing, is I'm seeing more perceived hatred of Donald Trump than a logical choice for the other team. You understand what I'm saying? These people hate Trump so much. And the thing is, this was put into play years ago, right after he was elected last time. They immediately started the Hate Trump campaign, preparing for this next election. And if you go out and you question somebody, do it on social media just for a joke. Question them. They don't have an answer for you. They don't. I was sitting there watching this thing with Lady Gaga. I think she's female. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a male-female thing or something. Anyway, I was watching her sitting there wearing, looked like she stole some boots off of Gene Simmons or something, camouflage outfit, and, pardon me there, and leaning up against the truck like she's some kind of cool redneck or something, okay? Nothing could be further from the truth as far as the average American. I don't know who she was trying to appeal to. Okay, but it was that, and then there was a concert, and then she went off on her Biden rant, and then other stars, and this, those people that are stacked with millions of dollars, they don't care if the country goes socialist; it doesn't affect them.
Right, they can buy their way out of the socialism,
and in a communist environment, Doug, they would be considered the elite.
Yes,
so. What they say and the people that are listening to them, that's a huge mistake. You need to listen to people that are more in your pay grade, you know, that are like your neighbor. You know, Biden keeps talking about, oh, I'm like your neighbor. No, no, you're not. I saw your house. I saw the hot rods. We know your kid's on the take for you.
Hey, 10% for the big guy, right?
Absolutely. And then the media is actually coming out and saying that the whole Biden laptop thing is a phony story.
Right.
which floors me. When I go back, all right, when you look at a case, there's evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. You either have evidence to go forward with the case, or you don't have any evidence at all.
You just have to authenticate the evidence, which has been done, by the way.
Exactly. There is 100 times more evidence against Biden than there ever was against Donald Trump.
Exactly.
But they don't care. This is the sad state of affairs that we're in.
Well.
And I hate to say it. A lot of my relatives are liberals. They are. Democrats. Little piglets. Okay? I can say that.
Little piglets.
This is coming. Anyway. I like it because it saves me a ton of money at Christmas. Anyway, I sit there and I look at him and I think, thank God I'm adopted. It can't be my bloodline. I just don't understand what we're doing, folks. We're seeing the result of decades of programming by communist professors, communist teachers, communist leaders, the left. And I hate to say it, it happened on our watch, and we're now seeing the fruition of it. We should have done something about this a long time ago. We dropped the ball. I dropped the ball.
I did too.
All of us did.
Yes.
And when our kids were coming home from school and saying stupid things, we should have caught it then. When our relatives were starting to say ridiculous things, we should have caught it then. A lot of what this boils down to with me is I keep it really simple. If you're a Democrat and you believe in abortion and you believe in socialism and communism, I have a hard time believing you're a Christian. I really do. I really, really do. And then the people that fall for these Democrats, like Pelosi and Ted Lieu. I bring up Ted Lieu a lot because I can't stand that little person. Okay? If I ever met him, I'd be afraid to ever meet him in person. Let's just put it that way. Okay? In fact, if we started digging, because he's not a natural-born American, I bet if we started digging, we could find out some things about Ted Lieu.
I got the shovel.
And I think over the next couple of years, that's going to be a personal project of mine. Okay.
Let's do it. Yes.
Because I can't stand that guy. All right. He just makes me want to puke.
And to think he speaks so highly of you.
I know. And he, you know, every time I've said anything to him in fact, one of my accounts just got closed on Twitter because I go heads up with these politicians and, a lot of times under different names and all, because I like to have a little bit of fun. But, you know, this guy sits there and he's basically accused Donald Trump of being the Antichrist.
Yes.
He really has.
Yes.
He tries to quote Bible verses to substantiate that. All right. Nancy Pelosi quotes Bible verses. Now, we were warned in the Bible about these type of people.
That's true.
And I wouldn't even give them the benefit of the doubt and call them a false prophet. But there are people, and we were told that there would be people that would speak in the Lord's name or claim to speak in the Lord's name and were actually of the devil. And I just gave you two names that, I mean, stop and think about it. These Democrats can't even receive communion in the Catholic Church.
Of course not.
Because of their stance on abortion. And you want to put these people in charge of our country? Stop and think about it. These people make Hitler look like a rookie amateur.
You know, there's a lot of comparisons to be made, I believe, although the right or the left makes more comparisons to President Trump and the supporters to Hitler than the
Which
other
I
way
don't
around.
See. I still don't see it. Because, oh, you know why? Because he's a nationalist, though.
Exactly. And you know, you see the pictures side by side. And I'm sure you've seen them, and folks, I'm sure you all seen them. And the trucks with the flags on the left, Trump flags and American flags and Don't Tread on Me flags. And then the trucks on the right with the ISIS soldiers, right? You've seen those comparisons, and they're trying to make this comparison or the Hitler memes plural.
And on ISIS, there is no comparison. Joe right. Biden and the Democrats, they throw their arms open.
Right.
Come on in. Come on in. Come one, come all. And what I dig about Trump is Biden welcomes ISIS. Trump kills them.
Yeah. I think, 10 months?
And it's that simple. You can't have this. I mean, do people like what they're seeing in Vienna, Austria, and France?
That's a really good point, because it's spreading all over. And that goes back to your point about what I mentioned about what's happening after today, after tonight, after tomorrow. Mm-hmm. This mass exodus that Matt Bracken has talked about from the urban areas, it's not going to work out well. It's just not going to work out well. So, yeah.
It's not. And what you're going to see, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, is what you're going to see a lot of over the coming weeks and months. Every clown out there that has a cause or hates Trump or hates the United States is going to be on the streets. They will use whatever lies they choose to use, the media will perpetuate those lies. But the bottom line is, these are people that want to overthrow the country. You're going to see Muslims reacting in the streets here.
Yep.
Mark my words. You're going to see Antifa. Okay. You're going to see Black Lives Matter. I honestly think we're going to see Nation of Islam on the street. You're going to see the Black Panthers. You're going to see these rogue clowns, that these little militia units, these black militia units down there in Georgia, which I thought I'd never see that. But down in Georgia or in Texas, they want to take over the state of Texas. You're going to see every idiot out there with a cause and a chip on his shoulder on the streets. That's why I tell you, for now, like tonight, I want to say this while I'm thinking about it. When you go to vote, if you're going to vote tonight, do not wear Trump things. Do not wear a MAGA hat. Do not wear a Trump hat. Keep your mouth shut and vote, all right? Because I know they talk about voter intimidation, and they keep making it sound like it's the right that does it, okay? We do not intimidate voters, but there is going to be people waiting to jump on you at polling stations, okay? There's security there and all, but listen, if you just keep your mouth shut and anybody says, you know, ask you who you're voting for, it's none of your business. It's none of your business.
Right. Forget about the exit polls and pre-polling.
Yeah, do not answer them. Don't say a word, because so much rides on these exit polls at night. Don't say a word. If you want to have some fun with them, tell them Biden.
You can do that.
I would. Or tell them Castro or something. You know, same thing.
And that's the other thing, too. I mean, obviously, we can't, wearing any kind of clothing with any MAGA, it would be electioneering inside the 100-foot line or whatever depending on the state and the polling location. By the way, earlier today in Philly, the left were so, just to bring people up to speed briefly, there was election interference by not letting poll workers in Philly. There was a couple of signs, Democratic signs, that were affixed to the polling places. In Philadelphia, there was a guy giving out pamphlets, I should say, not ballots, but pamphlets that only had Biden material on it. So, you know, all of these are violations of the election law. Just telling you what happened this morning.
But is anybody doing anything about it?
No. And Shapiro, Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, my state, that little puke, that little pustule, okay? And by the way, just in case people think that that's hard, I'm hard on him, okay? He almost sold our roads and toll plazas and toll barriers to the Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so anyway, this just in, I got to show you this real quick. I captured, there's a screen capture of suspicious package received.
Is that your Biden impersonation?
Yeah, I was going to. I can't even pronounce that word that he. But anyway, this just in. Can we show that picture? This PSA, suspicious package received at a Democratic campaign headquarters. Not well, that one too. All right, let's work on this one for a second. You can go back to that one.
I'd rather kiss the jackal.
Well, I was going to say, on one side we have a jackal, on the other side we have an animal that is, you know, kind of furry and it's got some teeth. Anyway, I screwed up Eric the Tech so bad today. It's, you see which one I meant? Yeah.
I mean, I can't see her as any kind of leader in this country.
Oh, she's going to be. You know what? One way or another, she's going to be. If the left has their way.
Yeah, that's the big thing, if. And this is, tonight is, or today is such a crucial day in the history of the United States.
It is. It's the topic is picture. It's show today picture.
Yeah.
No. Today, Tuesday, November 3rd. Oh, my goodness. All right. So obviously, did I give you the wrong thing? Hang on a second. Yeah, I gave you the wrong thing. All right. There was a joke made that there was a suspicious package received at the Democratic National Committee headquarters, and there was they called in the police and everything, and they had. Didn't know what it was, and it was here. It turned out to be a copy of the Constitution. Yeah. All right, so that joke fell. All right, never mind. I sent the wrong thing to Eric the Tech. Wouldn't you figure? All right. Yeah. So
you know, there's some real key Senate races. There's some real key congressional races. California, get these people out of there. Get clean Congress out. I know that a lot of people don't have faith in California. It could be done. It could be done.
You know, it's possible. Honestly, California, I would say Arizona, Texas could go red.
Yes. I mean, California being the last one. But see, here's if you look at most of the trouble that we have in the legislative assembly.
Yeah.
It's California Democrats.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
If we could just make a serious effort and clean that state up and its political structure, things would be a whole lot different in Washington, D.C. I mean, these people out in California, these Democrats, and if you look at what I don't understand is why the people keep electing them. You look at San Francisco, okay? I can go to San Francisco and make $185,000 a year just cleaning up human feces in the street as an employee of the city.
Yeah.
Doesn't that tell you that something's wrong? I mean, look at these enclaves, and I don't understand these people. It's like these people are, I don't know, is dope legal out in California or something? Because I'm not getting what part of your city's going down the toilet do these people not get? Ted Lieu? His district's a toilet.
Of course.
Okay. Pelosi? That's a toilet. Look at the governor for the state.
Yeah.
Newsom. What a clown.
Yeah.
And these people look to these people for leadership? Are you kidding me? I don't... This is what I don't understand on the left mindset. I don't understand because logic is out the window. There has to be a degree of logic in everybody's decision-making process. Some degree. Well, and when I look at this, I see none.
How can you even, how can you live there and accept that? I guess that's my question. I understand how the leadership can convince or attempt to convince the people to accept it, but how can you live there and accept it?
I have no idea. The only thing I can figure is that the population, there must be a good percentage of it are people from countries where it's worse. I don't know. I just don't understand it. I mean, Pelosi treats the people in California like they're her subservient slaves.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and then like when she did that, the commercial with the showing her, you know, $20,000 commercial refrigerator and eating ice cream. And you know what? I don't understand why anybody would be turned on by that, how anybody would be influenced by that, energized by that. You know what I'm saying? I don't, to me, that, why would you rub that in people's faces when, especially right in the middle of this COVID crisis, when people are out of work,
right,
starving, don't know where the next dollar's coming from, and you're propped up in your fancy kitchen eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream. What?
Yeah.
What? I don't.
I don't understand.
I don't understand it. I don't. Like I said, Doug, logic's out the window. So if you're dealing with people that have a problem with logical thinking, how do you sway them? What do you do? Therein lies the question.
And see, I think again, looking at the bigger picture, today, Election Day, 2020, 4 years ago, I remember at 10 o'clock at night. Still not knowing, you know, with any degree of, I mean, we had a sense, but we didn't know. And certainly there was a lot of stuff going on in the background, if you remember, folks, but.
Like it was yesterday.
Yeah. So, okay. So looking at the bigger picture here, we still, you know, even if President Trump does, and I honestly, I believe he's going to be reelected. I believe that.
I do too. I think that legitimately, legally, he will be reelected.
Right. And I believe that he's going to walk away with over 320 electoral votes. That's my personal opinion. But you know what? I've been wrong so many times. I mean, I walk into a casino and, you know, they say heads or tails. If I say heads on the two-headed coin, I'll lose. Okay. I mean, that's how unlucky I am in predictions and betting. So I don't do either. But I guess, looking at the big picture here, you said at the beginning, you know, if President Trump gets the second term, there's going to be riots, looting, arsons, you know, I mean, there's going to be hell to pay by the left. And if Biden would get in, it's just going to be hellfire. I mean, in the words of Diana West, I think in one of her tweets earlier this morning, hellfire is going to happen. So either way, we have to prepare for some bad stuff coming up, you know.
Well, that and not once during his campaigning did Biden say to these radical nuts, stand down.
No.
Not once. They pushed Trump on it constantly. They pushed him on people that really didn't even exist, okay? Meaning they were trying to make out that the riots in the streets were Trump people somehow, which was not the case. Driving through a city with two Trump flags, or a Trump flag and an American flag in the bed of your pickup truck does not make you a looter. It does not make you a rioter. It doesn't even make you a protester, truth be known. Okay. But somehow they got all those labels. You know, the left and the manipulation by the left, and this is what kills me. The people that are being manipulated by the left, you are not a free thinker. You think that you are a deep free thinker. You're not. You're about as deep as a teaspoon. Okay. There's nothing genius about your thought process. Okay. You are state dependent. You are. Plain and simple. If you're for socialism, communism, Joe Biden, Chinese products, you are absolutely a state-raised baby. okay? And you are state dependent. You are not a free thinker. Don't pretend that you are, because you are an insult to us people that are free thinkers. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can outthink you on a bad day. When you're playing checkers, we're playing three-dimensional chess. So if you're out there and you see in my face, okay, I got no respect for you. Okay? You're an idiot. You're a moron. If you voted for Joe Biden, there's something wrong with you. And I'm not just saying that from a political standpoint. I'm saying that from a logical standpoint. You may not like how Donald Trump carries himself, but that's one of the things that endears him to us patriots, is that he's not a polished politician. Another name for a polished politician is a professional liar.
That's it.
You people did not hold Obama accountable when you put him in office. All the promises that he made, you did not hold him to those, because he did not keep those promises.
No.
Go back and check. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. He made tons of promises on that campaign trail, and he lied. And you're getting ready to put another liar in if you're voting for Joe Biden. President Trump has kept his word on what he said he would do. That wall's being built. China got a nice kick in their economic crotch. He's doing everything. This guy has put the clamps on pedophiles.
Yep.
I mean, every time you turn around, he got our troops out of harm's way. He did. He's pulling our guys out of the battlefields left and right. Let these other countries fight their wars. He's got NATO participants putting in money that we thought we would never see from NATO allies, because the U.S. has been footing the bill. He actually put a business approach into the White House, which is the reason we elected him.
Keep going on that.
Go ahead, Doug.
Just keep going on that for a second. I'm going to reach over about 4 feet and I'm going to grab something. So keep going on that line. I think people need to really hear this, because again,
they do, because you look at the economic recovery. They keep crying right now. They're saying, well, things are bad. Yeah, the economy's down. We're in the middle of a COVID crisis. The world got shut down in March. Did you think perhaps that might affect the economy? But duh. Yes. Look at this guy. He keeps his promises, and they've thrown everything at him that they can. Okay? This man is not a liar. They call him all kinds of things. This man is not a racist. Donald Trump is not a racist. And for them to go on that he's a racist only makes them bigger liars. Okay, there's been very little truth coming from the left, and there's been nothing but hard truth coming from the right. And economically, if you look at people, look at their 401ks, people look at the overall economics of their family, their neighborhoods, you know, your neighborhood, your city and things like that, that's a result of your state. Don't blame Donald Trump for it. Okay. But as far as economic growth and the not taxing the crap out of the top 1%, those are the people that create the jobs. Why would you go and want to put heavy corporate taxes on the people that provide working environments? I don't understand that. If a corporation doesn't have to shell out unnecessary taxes, they choose to expand. They choose to grow. They choose to hire people.
Yes.
Once again, if you're voting for Biden, you're state dependent, because you'd be happy being on welfare. Or you've already made millions of dollars in the music or the movie industry, so none of this really matters to you anyway, because you're so far detached from humanity that it really doesn't matter. Most of your life spent in a fantasy world anyway, okay? We ain't on stage. There's no cameras looking at them. This is the hard truth.
I'm glad you brought that up. The Epoch Times had issued a, well, this is a full two-page spread of Trump versus Biden. And this was the October 21 through 27 edition. And I just want to just hit a couple of things for you, because you mentioned this, Trump v. Biden, which is an extension of Obama. But, for example, Trump granted tax cuts to companies that move manufacturing back to the U.S., tariffs on those who don't, continue to cut regulations for businesses, fund on-the-job training, apprenticeships, made major investments in infrastructure, launched opportunity zones programs in 8,766 distressed areas, which so far have attracted the $75 billion in private capital. What Biden wants to do is raise a minimum wage to $15 per hour and make racial equity part of the mandate of the Federal Reserve. That's just in the economy. I can go on, but one of the big things, Second Amendment. Uphold Second Amendment rights, Donald Trump. You know what Donald Trump stands for. The only thing that we had an issue with was the bump stocks and the some of the frivolous things, but Biden. Ban manufacture and sale of military-style firearms, high-capacity magazines. Regulate possession of existing, quote, assault weapons, whatever they are. Restrict individuals to one firearm purchase per month. Nobody's going to tell me I can't buy two, you know, if I want to. What the hell? Okay. Prohibit all online sale of firearms, ammunition, kits, gun parts. Increase background check time from 3 to 10 days. Require background check for all gun sales, including gun show and online sales. We already have that, numbnuts. Send information from the Social Security Administration to the National Background Check System to stop certain people unable to manage their affairs for mental reasons from owning a gun. That's pretty arbitrary. And on it goes. The military. Oh, my gosh. Foreign affairs. China. You could write a book about China. Some have. And there it is. So with the things that you were saying, too. So between Obama, what he promised to do and didn't, to what Biden promises to do, big problems.
And our point was, when we lost to Obama, we didn't burn the United States down. We could have.
Yeah.
We could any time that we, if I'm telling you, if the Patriots mobilized, the biggest manufacturing jobs would be body bags at that point. Okay? Don't mistake intelligence for weakness. That's all I'm going to say to you anarchists and you clowns out there. I had mentioned those people in Georgia and Texas, the black militias, okay? Put the weapons up. Take the uniforms off, okay? Act normal. Don't start something that you can't finish.
Exactly.
And I'll say that to Antifa, okay? Black Lives Matter, all it is. Don't start something that you can't finish, because your idea of finishing it and our idea of finishing it are probably going to be two different things, and you're not going to be around to talk about it. So knock it off.
Yeah, very true.
Start acting like civilized people. Stay off the streets. And if you idiots go and siege the White House, whatever happens, happens. I do not care. You have no sympathy for me. If you think you're going to go tonight and try and oust President Trump, I hope you get wasted in the street. I really do. Okay? There's no call for this.
You know, that fence that they're putting up. Yeah. And I mean, the fact
that fence is nothing. And they only have 250 National Guard guys there.
Right.
They need to beef that up. I would have brought in a Marine contingent myself and just placed it on federal property in D.C. That's not a state. That's what I'd have. There's probably things on standby we don't even know about, and I pray to God there are. Personally, if I was Trump, I wouldn't even be in the White House tonight.
Do you think tonight, later tonight, tomorrow night, do you think it'll be that bad?
It very well could, but I'll tell you something, though. Don't underestimate President Trump. He's probably armed. So you go, you manage to get past Secret Service and all, you're still going to have to deal with the old man, all right? Because he don't play. He's got more stamina than I do. He's got more stamina than Doug and I put together.
Oh,
this is one tough old man. That's and good. I dig him. I dig him for it. Also, listen, I want to say something to people. We do this because we care about you, we love you, and your fellow patriots. Any advice we offer on here, okay, it's just personal advice. And when we tell you, you know, don't misbehave tonight, we really mean that. We say that to you as patriots. We say that to you as Christians, okay? Be the adult amongst the children here, okay? If there's a time for that to change, you'll know when that time is. That doesn't come from some supreme commander somewhere, okay? You know that in your heart. Everybody knows what needs to be done when it needs to be done, okay? But let's use our democratic process. It's a beautiful thing, all right? And pray. Get out and vote. And if we lose, we lose. But that means we lost today. That doesn't mean we lost tomorrow, all right? And pray for each and every one of you. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for your support. And please, people have been sending things in made out to me, Randy Taylor. I ask you to please make checks and things like that out to the Hagman Report, because if you can create a whole tax problem for
me. Oh my goodness, yes.
I don't, folks. I got enough problems. I don't need it. I love you and I thank you for it. God bless you for it. But please, please make any kind of contributions out to the Hagman Report, because it just complicates things for me. All right. And
I'm going to make sure, and Randy, you can verify this. I'll make sure you get it.
Oh, he does. Absolutely. No matter what, you can earmark it for me. That's fine. But, or make a comment or something. That's fine. But please, right, no personal checks or corporate checks made out to Randy Taylor. Okay. Yeah. It just creates a serious issue for me. Okay?
Pitching Lois Lerner, but
you got to remember that, you know, income has to be reported and all that. And I really don't. Listen, we're gonna be okay. We love you. We'll talk soon. In fact, I think I'll see you Friday. Correct, Doug?
Amen to that. Yeah. Brother, we're going to be riding shotgun again more often than not, but Friday next, or wait a minute. Are we going to do that? We've got an issue. I have to talk to you. We have an issue with Friday. Is that going to be when? I'll have to talk to you off air, folks. We do have an issue with Friday. But I'll tell you what, Randy Taylor, you're going to be riding shotgun with in this capacity more often than not. So cool. I'll talk to you off air about that. Something just had come up within the last, I don't know, 12 hours, and we'll have to let you know about this. So
okay,
all right,
no worries.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much for weighing in. Thank you so much for your words of advice, your calm demeanor.
We're going to get through this. Don't get caught up in the hoopla of this. Okay. We're going to get through it. Get out and vote. A lot of people fought and died so you could vote. Do it.
Amen. To the people in the West where the polls are still open, even in the Midwest, go out and vote. God bless. Thank you, sir.
All right. Later.
Coming to you from the Hagman Report.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Thank you. Exposing the New World Order, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Stand by. Doug and Joe will be back shortly.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com for all of your, well, that's the place to go. On the top is a banner for video and audio. That's HagmanReport.com. And then, of course, on the bottom, show prep, new articles there every day, new pieces of information, things that we fit into the show. And, of course, HagmanStore.com for some coffee, the proceeds of which go to the fight against human and child sex trafficking, Russ Dizdar's group, Craig Sawyer's group, legitimate boots on the ground groups that I know, people I know, to help their efforts as well. That's why it's more expensive than you would buy at Costco or even, even at a maybe a coffee specialty place. It's a gourmet coffee plus the proceeds are spread among the organizations that fight against child trafficking. That's HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. By the way, if it's Tuesday, even though it's Election Day, we still have Stan Deo on to talk about things like Election Day here in the as we approach the closing or have approached the closing of the or have closed the polls here in the East. It's we had talked a little bit. And what should we really be talking about the election right now? You've got 1,000 choices out there, including, 90% of those 1,000 choices on in the alternative media. Go ahead, tune in there. I'm going to do something a little bit different, and that's kind of stick to a regular schedule. Yeah, we're going to be talking about the election, but in a larger sense, not giving you a blow-by-blow description, because at this point, regardless of who is declared the winner or who takes the electoral votes, we still have some things to work out. It's still going to be rough. It's going to be hell or hellfire. One of the two, which is why, by the way, you should go to standeo.com to keep track of the headlines. That's standeo.com, as well as empshield.com, right? empshield.com. There it is. /Hagman. Don't forget the /Hagman part. That's really important because that'll give you $10 off or $50 off. Yeah. Can I possibly get any worse? I'm just exhausted. I got to tell you folks, I'm just wiped out today. It's just been a hell of a day. But anyway, empshield.com/Hagman for $50 off of your purchase. And Stan, this is Stan's brainchild. Him and his team. I've got to tell you, this is a real threat. So protect your equipment and get back up and running quicker with, once the grid does come back up fully. And only parts will be affected perhaps. Who knows? But insure yourself. This to me is the best insurance you can buy. And that's empshield.com/Hagman, empshield.com/Hagman. With that, Stan Dale. Stan, how are you, sir?
Oh, good evening, sir. It's been a day for Holly and I. We're getting the house ready, moving furniture for the painters to come in tomorrow. But after the show tonight, we're going to sit in our easy chairs, and I've put up a protective screen around the TV, so if we throw anything, it won't hit the TV.
man.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's nice that you have painters come in, and it is kind of a, in a sense, doing things like that is kind of a hassle, right? I mean, so I get that. And
well, Holly did the lower ceilings and walls and stuff probably a year or so ago herself if she had time. And, the high places were just too dangerous with the ladder and the paint and everything. Yeah. So there's a Christian fellow named Craig Jay here in town, and he listens to your show. Hi, Craig. And we got him to come in and finish the job. He'll do that tomorrow. We'll start tomorrow anyway. And since we've already now finished, Holly and I, the deck out there with the restaining, that's just about the end of the painting requirements. And I don't know what's next. I forget. She's got a list of things for honeydews and hollydews. But anyway, yeah, fortunately our bedroom and kitchen, things like that have already been done except for repairs to some floor tiles. But,
did the snow melt?
Did the snow melt? Hey, within a day and a half, it was gone. Uh-huh. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. What is it now? 72 and sunny or what?
Might be even more than that. It's sunny.
Come on. Are you serious? Really?
It's just fall. The temperature doesn't fall completely. Well, it is that way. I'm sorry, but that's the deal.
Yeah. One day it's snow and the next day it's, next day you can go out and get a, suntan. That's interesting. All right. Well, I'm going to kind of turn this over to you. Whatever you want to talk about. I know it's election day. I know that we got 100 things that we could talk about the election, but I'm a big picture kind of guy and I'm looking at this regardless of who wins. Again, it's going to be hell or hellfire. Take your pick. So, different.
Well, let me start with an article that Holly has up on the alerts. She put up this morning. Leaked Zoom calls and documents show federal workers and activists conspiring to participate in a coup and shut down the White House. Now, that came over Sunday. I'm sure you've already seen that and probably talked about it. But it's interesting to note that these federal employees and activists say on the 5th of November, we're going to shut down the White House. On the 6th, we're going to shut down larger parts of D.C. This guy that they were tapping his Zoom call said he mentions confronting members of Congress trying to get to D.C. and sending them back to where they came from. Now, does that sound like the word coup kind of is like revolution or civil war, isn't it?
Yes. And by the way, we have the videos on HagmanReport.com. And I say videos. One is from Millie Weaver, which is the introduction to the larger video. And then one from Steve Bannon, which is just an addition of it's the video and then in addition to his commentary. But yes, you're absolutely correct.
And if you haven't already today, well, this evening, look at the weather changes, the top left part of Holly's page for our homepage for standale.com, and look at reports and photos and videos of what's hitting the Philippines. This powerful typhoon called Goni. It's killed a few people, probably less than 20 at this point. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting was this is the largest, strongest landfalling typhoon on record. And that tells you that something's not right with the weather there or the climate. Anyway, yeah, there you go. That's the article there. And you can link to it, I think. Well, you got it there off our homepage. That's it. That's fine.
That's amazing. I mean, this is a time, right, for typhoons and hurricanes, or is this not?
We got about a week left, and then it's going to be the end of the season. But I'll tell you what, if this is it, it's ending with a bang.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, most of the coastal regions of continents, to the seas, the whole industry starts with fishing and sea or trade from, their coastlines to other coastlines by sea. So a large proportion of most countries lives on the coastal lines. In the United States, it's the West Coast and East Coast and then the Gulf Coast. And people congregate around these areas. There are high population densities so that when something like this hits or other things, which we can discuss in a minute, it really cripples the community. And what they're getting hit with there is just, it's going to hit their economy terribly hard. Anyway, and then later there'll be disease and, death from that, I'm sure. But we've had so many hurricanes this season, they started using Greek letter names to name these darn storms. It's a change. Now, on that news, let's see, do I have that? Well, maybe I can share it for you here. Let me just see. I've got a screen share thing here somewhere, I think. Screen share. There it is. And let me share that. Okay. Now, can you see this picture of space weather? Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
Okay. Down the lower left of that picture, you see it's an active region 2781 on the sun. You see a very big sunspot group all so clustered together. It's like one big sunspot. And it's rotating into view, and about 3 days later, there's going to be another group like that rotating into view going from left to right. The dark cores that they have in that, if you read the captions up there, where I'm pointing my cursor, there are three dark cores in there, and each one is the size of Earth. So if you see the inset popped up there from that orange plate, you'll see that those are the three dark cores producing all this magnetic field flux that we see around, you know, the yellows and blues, greens there. That's the magnetic fields, and this is the actual solar light visibility. And I've been telling you for two or three shows that, excuse me, that we're going to have an asteroid come close to the Earth, and that was yesterday. Now, it could have hit the upper atmosphere, and it could have gone the other side of the moon. The rate of error, or the percent of error, was so great that the prediction was all over the place. Now, it had a 1 in 240 chance of actually hitting our planet. Fortunately, this thing was only about 10, 11, 12 feet in diameter, so it wouldn't have done horrible damage if it even made it to the surface. But these things are coming more frequently now. The sun's irregular energy outputs the C1 class solar flares, which are putting UV radiation from the flare and ionizing the upper atmosphere of the Earth. And we've known about two new spectral frequencies since 1992 of UV, and I suspect we'll see more irregular emissions at different frequency bandwidth coming from the sun as it starts to approach its point where it might actually throw off part of the chronosphere out in through our solar system. Anyway, it's just an article worth. Yeah, it is indeed.
Okay, I see it. You don't have to explain it any further. I mean, to me, I got it. I answered my own question before I even asked it. Okay.
All right. Okay. I'll just close that one there. And now on our show images page, Eric, there are a few things. Oh, by the way, back on that article about the coup and that kind of stuff against the government, mm-hmm. It doesn't take Blind Freddy to realize that we've got a country heavily divided left and right. But there are also other divisions in both sides of the political spectrum, like between various race types, you know, Hispanic, Anglo, the Arab nation people that are here, the Arabs, you look for Muslim, Islam, Christians. All these things are divisive things within our communities, whether you be Republican or Democrat or left or right, whatever. All these areas are undergoing stress, you know, social stress. And I hark back to the 1996 visit that Holly and I were invited to the home of a Hopi elder who was chief. Well, I think he's not a chief, but he's just like the prophecy keeper. And we visited his home with his son and a bunch of the tribal members. They were called in. Now, I've told that story many times, and people have said, oh, okay, but how can you trust the Hopi? Like anything else in prophecy, I look at how accurate it is. In 1996, we were just led by God to be invited there. We didn't intend to go to the Hopi Nation, but we were stopping over in Phoenix. And when we got there, and they shared the prophecy with us from the prophecy keeper, it was because a slight, you know, miracle happened as I was talking to the chief's son at Augustine Moa. And we were up on the top of the mesa where they all lived. And it was, a willy-willy, or what do you call it, a dust devil, came and sat over the guy and I as we were talking, because he was explaining why he couldn't tell me the details of the prophecy that was given in that home with the chief, or with the head prophecy keeper. But he said, I drew a little circular pattern down in the dirt between our feet because the wind from the thing sitting right on top of us was throwing dust and leaves into our eyes. And so I stood back up, and couldn't have sunglasses because that would have been rude to not let him see my eyes. And we're both looking at each other with all this. When the storm came up after I drew that little circular pattern, that circular doodle, like a coil, a flat coil. Anyway, we were both trying to beat a man not giving up first with that stuff hitting us in the face and eyes, and trying to talk so he could tell me what the prophecy was. And I don't know why, but on a lark, I looked down at that spiral thing, which is like a spinning, you know, vortex and cross section. And I reached down with my foot and just wiped it out. And as sure as I sit here, when I did that, the dust devil disappeared immediately off of us, and it was calm around us. So with that, he interpreted that as a sign and said, however, in light of this, there are a few things I can share with you. Now, one of them was you are the fifth of eight messengers to be sent to us in these end days times when the end of this age of man will occur. And I said, oh, okay. And he said, we will see the United States have a great civil war, but not just a simple A against B. It will be a multi-sided, multifaceted civil war. And it will be, as I was saying a while ago, between various religious factors, economic factors, you know, political viewpoints, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But all these things are going on at once when that civil war takes place they're talking about. And so it's not just simply a revolution like the coup they're talking about in the news article. It's a civil conflict between polarities of all kinds, which means that probably, you know, 8 out of your 10 neighbors will have a beef with you about something if you let it be known what your opinion is on it. So it's going to put everybody at everybody's throat. Now, he said, and after that, the government will bring up troops, you know, like martial law, to quiet all these conflicts and riots and terrorism. And while that's happening, the United States will be invaded by China, Russia, and one Middle Eastern nation. Now, he didn't say who that one was. I suspect it probably Iran or Saudi Arabia, one of the two of them. And with that, he said, there will be survivors because the invaders will damage many of your major cities. They'll just destroy them, burn them. But they will turn around and leave the United States. Now, I don't know if that's because they've destroyed everything worth having and had all the intellectual property they wanted, or whether there's some byproduct of the radiation or the mass destruction weapons they've used to kill most of America. But they will leave. And it will be survivors all over the country who will eventually, majority of them, converge on the four corners of the United States, and in particular Colorado, you know, in the southern and western regions. So he said this will be where the Hopi and the Navajo and the other people, you know, the Indian people from various tribes across the country, will migrate to form a new government, which probably won't be called America, but it'll be revived and merged together, religions and political views and whatever will be merged together there for a new nation here, which will be a very small one at that point in time, because the rest of it would probably be uninhabitable. Now, I tried this. I said, okay, they told me this in 1996. We now see, yes, we have a threat of civil war right in the newspapers, and we know it's coming. Okay, what else did they say? China and Russia would be the major invaders of the United States. China and Russia have just this year signed a mutual defense contract against the United States. Well, that's coming true. Our president has been putting the heat on China in the trade agreements because they were stealing intellectual property and various other things, and they were overcharging us for stuff. And so he set the financial exchanges into balance. Well, of course, this threatened the economy of China and irritated the communist government of China. So you can see that we've poked them in the eye, and they're not going to take that line down because it's not a matter of honor or saving face. It's a matter of keeping the people of China from revolting, armed revolt against the Communist Party leaders if they haven't got enough to eat or enough power, you know, energy. So now I'm putting, you know, pretty much a support of everything else that the prophecy from the Hopi told us. There's more, but that's for later. And if you look on my show images page at slide 52 in the text, if you just click on that, the article is about Mike Pompeo standing up against the atheist Chinese Communist Party in a visit to countries in the shadow of the Chinese threat.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Now, he was visiting Indonesia, which is very close to the China Sea there. In Papeo, it says, took aim at Chinese aggressiveness in the South China Sea, where it has advanced maritime and territorial claims over the objections of its smaller neighbors, over its handling of the coronavirus pandemic and its repression of religious minorities. Now, Pompeo praised Indonesia for pushing back on what he called China's unlawful claims and lauded, you know, Jakarta's efforts to get their property back too. Pompeo also attacked Beijing for its mistreatment of religious minorities, calling China the gravest threat to the future of religious freedom. And this is not touchy-feely, nice, you know, political talk to China. This is in your face, you know, like Donald Trump will do. So, again, it's poking the dragon, you know, Chinese dragon, in the eye. And when you poke the dragon, you can expect a little bit of a problem after that. It's coming.
Without reading the article, are you saying that Pompeo is poking the dragon?
Yeah.
That's what I thought you said.
And I'm sure he's doing it with the blessings of President Trump.
Okay.
But this rhetoric and against the Chinese assuming islands and territories and regions, fishing regions, stuff that the Indonesians, you know, and in Jakarta, that these areas are being seized by the Chinese. Well, this is not good. It's forcing conflict. And, I know that the United States has put some things over in that region, naval things to be ready to enter into conflict with China. My concern is after hearing what the Hopi, prophecy keeper told us, and my concern is that we will not be smart enough because they have stolen the intellectual property here and have had, you know, at least 8 to 10 years to develop their own versions of it and test them in the field. Even North Korea has a submarine. It's a missile launcher submarine that they've finished, which could be a threat offshore, in international waters to the United States, major cities on the West Coast. Just as you read your daily newspaper or watch whatever news channel you're watching it, look for signs that the rhetoric is now becoming, you know, skirmishes between China and Russia and our naval fleets. It's coming. And, yeah, it's coming.
You know, this kind of matches up in a sense what you've said about China over the course of multiple programs on this, multiple shows or broadcasts on this program, on this platform. When I look at the contents of the alleged contents of the Biden laptop with respect to the email messages, as well as the interview with Tony Bublinski with Tucker Carlson, I'm seeing this Chinese sellout to the Chinese, I suppose. Yeah. How else can you say it? But yeah.
Yeah. Definitely so. And of course, Biden and his family are at the forefront of that.
Yeah.
That's treasonous.
Yeah. And I was amazed at the fact that one of Hunter Biden, one of his companies, I think it's BHR, and another company bought Hinage's company. That's the name of the company. And that's a dual use company. Anyway, to make a long story short, a lot of nuclear technology was transferred to the Communist Chinese Party by way of this purchase or through this purchase, and went to Chinese submarines and aircraft carriers, which they have one, which now they're going to have more. But I'm telling you, what a mess.
Well. You know, Doug, look at when that was happening, our democratic governments, you know, under Clinton and under Obama, were defunding really, or, you know, making the military a poorer stepsister and not keeping them up to date.
Right.
And so it takes years sometimes to develop and replicate technology to use for defensive or aggressive measures. So in that 8 to 12, 15-year period. We were weakened while they were building up the Chinese by letting them access our patents. I don't know whether it was just the sealed ones or whether they got some of the unsealed ones or not, but Clinton actually allowed the Chinese to put a desk with a man in our patent office in Washington. And as soon as something became available, they shot it off to China, like, you know, like industrial spies or whatever, so that the Chinese could read it, develop, test it, and modify it, which they're good at, and not pay royalties. And, you know, so the door was opened by Democratic presidents. There's just no question about it. And now, of course, the vice president is the current villain. But we're in trouble. We're in real trouble. You know, we talk about how the election is dividing our country and how we're going to see, you know, after tonight, you know, over the next few days, we're going to see challenges to the vote, I'm sure, by one or both parties. And we'll recount might be heard in some places and all kinds of drama. If you look at slide 54, this was about 3 or 4 days ago this happened, Tanzania, you know, where the Garden of Eden is. Tanzania had a Christian president. And, you know, he is at the moment still the president because he won the election, but it was a house greatly divided. And so there's a president, Magufuli, who is the current one now, maybe like unelected if they do like they're doing here in this country. The opposition party is complaining foul. They want a recount. And it's a precursor of what's going to happen here. And why is it happening there? Because Tanzania is surrounded by Islamic terrorist nations, Islam. And, you know, it's probably more like Shia or terrorist motivated Muslims, like the Iranian Muslims. And they're afraid to death. They've got in Tanzania, they've got all kinds of border patrols and defense measures around them because they're surrounded by these other countries that want to overthrow them. And, you know, I guess in one respect, we have people in our own country that want to overthrow us. So this great division there is like it is here. It's a precursor of what's going to happen here, I'm sure. Just, you know, endless peaceful demonstrations and call for recount. And we don't, you know, support, you know, Magufuli, the current president. Anyway, and he's a guy much like President Trump in the way he's popular with the people, not so much the established governmental parties and stuff there. Anyway, that's just another interesting thing.
Yeah.
Here, slide 53, too, was quite interesting.
Okay.
Being, you know, a joint citizen with Australia and America, and I pay attention to those things, which might affect my friends and children down there. And the article says China-Australia relations ban on $400 million U.S. threatening to not buy Australian wheat imports. Now, the Chinese government, the communist government, are actually telling their people if a ship arrives or plane with, you know, wheat from Australia, turn it around. Do not bring it in here. From Friday this week, barley, sugar, red wine, timber, coal, lobster, copper ore, and copper concentrates from Australia are expected to be barred from China, even if the goods have been paid for and have arrived at the post. Now, one of my sons, well, in fact, both of them work in related industries in the mining industry of steel in Western Australia and copper as well. Things. Now, I was just talking to him last night, and the steel, that the iron ore that comes out of Western Australia is very high quality because they mix magnetite, which is magnetized iron ore, in with regular iron ore, and it makes a very strong lattice for the steel. They are not canceling those orders. Why? Because they're used for weapons and ships and things like that. So they're only taking the stuff for war primarily at this point. You know, the poor Australians down there, I mean, they've done it to themselves. They've had really two liberal left-wing politicians, T-O-O, not T-W-O, too many liberal left-wing politicians in the latest years here. And they are kowtowing, you know, giving in to China's demands. when my eldest son down there, Nathan, was in the Royal Army, the Australian Army, he was taught over in Queensland, where he did his training, tactics of how to fight the Indonesians, which are just north of Australia and are heavily influenced by China. And they were taught that China is going to influence Indonesia and get the militant Muslims to invade Australia from the sea and the various seaports. And here are the tactics you use to fight them, to defend against them. Well, in the next room over from him, there was a wall separating him so that you couldn't hear, were Indonesian military officers being trained in the same tactics. So the guys they're going to fight with these tactics are in the room left of them, you know, across the wall, being taught what's going to come at them and how they can defend themselves another way. And that was liberal governments, left-wing governments down there in Australia. And so in addition to let China and Japan and other Asian countries buy chunks, big ranches, you know, with cattle and, sheep, to buy these things, which are our food supply, to allow them to do that is just turning Australia over to her enemies. They were not strong. And that's the same thing that's happening with the left-wing, you know, Biden-type government here, potential government, is that we are, if we follow them, we will be absorbed into the Chinese communist, regime or their government. And I think so many things have already been done to us that there's no way that we can avoid the conflict that's coming, an armed conflict. And I don't think that we will, as a nation, survive it. So keep an eye out for another alliance with China and Russia from the Middle East. And those will be the three that come in and start tearing us apart.
Well, obviously, you know, being softened up internally by race, by income, you know, every which way. I mean, no matter what the divide is, being exacerbated and then have some, you know, have an outside external force come in, makes perfect sense to me. Why, I mean, isn't that the blueprint of, especially like, the CIA, how they operate? Let's destabilize, you know, the country, the population, and then just move in and install the intended government. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, George Soros uses that, and it's worked effectively. The communist revolution in Russia used that tactic and amongst their own people, and it worked.
Yeah.
House divided, house in confusion. Oh, Lord. Yeah. It is following the blueprint, and we're headed for a new global government. I've been reading, Thessalonians and a new translation that's been worked on for 20 years. I talked about it last show, seeing what the actual Greek words said rather than the assumed kind of overarching, one word substitute for what several words were saying. It didn't come out exactly correct. And, it does point to 7-year tribulation period coming upon us very soon. I know you probably don't hold to this viewpoint about the pre-trib rapture, but I think we'll start the tribulation, and at the very beginning of that 7 years, somewhere in there, the Antichrist will be revealed. Now, I'm thinking the reason that we have to pay attention to that is because if the church, the believers, the bride of Christ, is still in the earth and all over the place, and the Antichrist is revealed, then they would be loud voices saying, don't trust this guy. He's going to make a dictatorial global government, and he's working for Satan, inhabited by Satan. You know, he's a bad guy. So the church is not going to be existing at the same time here on earth with the Antichrist, because they would be too much of a thorn. They'd hold him back, as the Bible says. So somewhere between, you know, the start of that 7-year tribulation and the mid tribulation, somewhere in there, and I think reasonably early in the piece, the church will have to be taken to safety. And the more I read of this actual translation of the New Testament by this fellow, I think that that's the way it's going to be. It's amazing somebody was given that information and wrote it down, and it survived centuries to get to us almost intact, without error.
That by itself says a lot about the authenticity of the information, in my view, for that to survive for those centuries. Yeah, I agree.
So there were people that were, you know, in various countries in the Middle East, there primarily Israel, who were called the Waldenses for the Seventh-day Adventists. And they weren't Seventh-day Adventists at the time, but these people, each person memorized a portion of the Bible, the New Testament. And there were several people that would memorize word for word what the book was. And they had the whole New Testament in their population by memory. So when the Waldensians migrated back into Europe and then eventually over in the United States, checks were made. They wrote down what they had memorized word for word. And checks were made with the surviving text, you know, scrolls that were, again, translated by King James and him. And the word difference, the marginal difference between what they had by memory was so small that it was almost like a mental photocopy of the documents to prove their accuracy. I've been amazed by that, too. I met one of those guys down in Australia in Adelaide in, gosh, 1974, I think, old Charlie. And his church just absolutely loved him because he had the entire Bible memorized word for word. You could say to him, where does it say blah? And he'd start talking off the verse, you know, the chapter, and word for word what it said, Old and New Testament. Just amazing. Anyway, that's my wonder for the moment. Now, you know, I have I think it's slide 13 on the show images page, about the potential Antichrist candidates, you know, Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And the next to him, and in between Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman, is a guy, the minister of Turkey, interior minister, Süleyman Soylu. There you go. Now, if you look at the show images page on slide 49, that'd be a good place to start.
I'm going to see this. Okay, yeah. All right. 49. Stand by.
Now, remember, Erdogan is currently the president of Turkey. So Soylu works on his cabinet there as the interior minister. Now, probably 3 or 4 months ago when the COVID thing shut down was put in place, this guy resigned. But then he came back on board after a while because his party is saying, you're going to be the next president of Turkey. And the reason I find that's important, now Turkey's got this, the so-called seat of Satan there. It's the midpoint of like the Ottoman Empire, and the western side of it is up into Europe, the western five nations that were part of the old Roman Empire. And to the east of it, you've got Arab nations that are part of the eastern leg, and also what is Nebuchadnezzar's dream that Daniel interpreted, the two legs coming down to 2 feet with five nations on 1 foot and five nations on the other as toes. And you can see that these nations are not all, you know, iron or not all clay. They're mixed iron and clay, which means they're fragile in some places and strong in others. So Süleyman Soylu has a name of Solomon in a country that has the potential of being the center point of the revived Roman Empire. And they are making in the population there in the news services, some of them are already saying, we want to help Israel build the new temple, the third temple of Solomon, on the Temple Mount in the northern side where the trees are next to the seat of Solomon. If they do this, you know, it puts this guy up in the forefront. I've been watching because, in my opinion, from Revelation 13, where it talks about the number of the man is 666, and here wisdom is, that was talking about Solomon and the 666 talents of gold he got. It was a clue back to that guy, the man, not a man, the man. And so I thought, well, all right, let's look at potential candidates and how many of them have Solomon or the derivatives of Solomon in the Middle East and in Europe. So here's this guy, Süleyman Solomon Soylu. You've got Mohammed bin Salman. I think we're going to see a Solomon type. And because the scripture says that the Antichrist at this time will bring fire down from the heavens in the sight of man or of men, it is different than what happened to King Solomon when he dedicated the first temple. He dedicated that temple by, you know, piling up a bunch of, you know, wood and incense, you know, perfume and stuff in a big heap as a an honor to God for letting him finish the temple and to bless it. And then he had the men of Israel, not the men, the men of Israel watched fire come down from heaven by his command and ignite that that thing, that pile of wood and spices thing, and burn, and then, you know, put this pleasant smoke around the place to dedicate that temple. There's only been one other guy, a prophet, that did it, but his name wasn't Solomon when he burned or had the fire come down and burn water on the offering there as a challenge to the other team's way of worshiping their gods and stuff. Anyway, so Solomon is a name that I look for, and there was in Iran there was one that was killed,
or some derivative.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just see here. What have I got here? Yeah. How do you get across? Oh, there it is. Right. Okay. I had as a possibility Pope Francis, of course, not there yet. Might be a false prophet. I don't know. A second beast. Then Bashar al-Assad in, Syria. And I'm losing faith in the fact that Erdogan might be, you know, an antichrist. We have Qasem Soleimani, who died 2nd of January this year, but will he be revived by some strange process and be whole again? Then it might be him, and that might be he that becomes the first beast, the antichrist. I don't know. Anyway, that page of stuff I've got there is worth looking at those things and updating yourself if there's some things that I haven't found that would support it. But the most likely thing will be King Salman or Suleiman Soylu. That's why they're up at the front. Anyway, it's a good thing to.
Well, you know, keeping our eyes on these leaders anyway, without regard to the potentiality of the Antichrist, certainly engaged in activities that mirror those that can be classified as against God, I suppose, right? I mean, or be in the position to be able to maneuver into that ultimate position. So all of them, you know, are
all right.
We need to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, with Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia, remember, he started out with a mutual defense compact with 34 other nations, Arab nations there, to defend them against the Shiite or Iranian-type Islamic terrorists. Now it's gone to, I think, 41 members. But Mohammed bin Salman is the head, the organizer of this group of nations. And it's a lot of influence. And if you're in the Middle East, Mohammed bin Salman is definitely the guy with the big stick. Everybody looks at what Saudi Arabia does and decides whether they want to risk having a confrontation with him if they don't follow suit. So the fact that UAE and Bahrain and some others, Saddam, are going with the peace treaty in Israel, or what they're going to call a peace treaty, peace agreement, tells us that this is the wish of Saudi Arabia, but just hasn't been made public yet. They're waiting to make it public to see if President Trump is reelected, you know, positively. Then the Saudis will join openly, and the other nations that have signed with them in this mutual defense pact will also sign with Israel.
Well, you brought up a good point here. Given the day, and, you know, maybe we'll know, maybe we won't, I don't know, but would you say the timeline would be hastened, the biblical prophetic timeline, would that be hastened with a Donald Trump reelection or a leftist installation, you know, leftist government installation, the installation of a leftist government here in the United States? What's your thought on that? Because I can see where it could very well go both ways, or either way. When you really
Israel doesn't want Biden to win. They don't. They don't want that government. So if Israel's going to sign a peace treaty, it has to be with the Trump administration at this point, unless we go through another presidential cycle.
Okay. So what you're saying is it would be more the end time scenario, the prophetic end time scenario, as biblically stated, would comport better with a Trump presidency because of the Israel-U.S. relationship, right?
Is that and the Saudis too for weapons, because the Biden administration wasn't too, you know, the Obama Biden administration was not really too friendly to Israel, especially when they gave all that money and cash to Iran, which is Saudi Arabia's mortal enemy by faith.
Right.
So it makes sense that the Saudis want Trump to win because they want to have some new aircraft and some other new weapons to defend themselves against the Iranian Shiite thing. I think this will happen, and the peace treaty may not be signed this year. It may be next year after a few other things happen. And I would say that the United States will be invaded somewhere along the line in the next year, maybe in October, like the missiles of October that a number of people are talking about, like Larry Taylor, the vision he had. So I don't know. I think we have to have Trump in power, and Jared Kushner being the ambassador between United States and the Arab nations, that it all fits that way. So, but it doesn't mean that we're going to have a clear cut victory and won't have civil riots and stuff here against the Trump administration should they win.
Right. Right. I get that. I just trying to look at this from all angles. And when you talk about this, of the ultimate authority, of course, I respect is the Bible. And just to kind of see how, you take a newspaper with the headlines and then the Bible, and you put them kind of side by side, and you can kind of see, my goodness, how things are flowing together. Okay. But that does make perfect sense. I appreciate that.
One last thing on the MBS. See if I can find it right. In that Antichrist potential page, and his under MBS, his column says the holy mountain is at Jabal al-Laws. Okay, and that's in Saudi Arabia, just south of Jordan. And this is the place where MBS Prince is building his Neom city. I think it's like 700 and something billion dollars worth, but the Bible says, and he, the Antichrist, shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. Now, is it the holy mountain in Tanzania, the mountain of God, or is it the holy mountain as spoken of in Jerusalem? Now, Neom is between the Mediterranean and, the Red Sea. So anyway, these are little things to look at, and MBS is really involved in global money exchanges, digital money exchanges and banking and, blockchain, digital currencies between countries. So right. He has ownership of bank stock and other corporations, which he could use to his advantage to set up a world, numbering system for our currencies and things. Now, that's enough on Saudi. An interesting thing, kind of not, it's tongue in cheek, but we'll have a look at it. Slide 46. The picture you see there is of an object that's on a video taken off the space station. And this object you can see in the video as it moves around independent of the movement of the space station. So it's something that changes direction that has like a glowing energy field around it that changes shape and direction as well. They're saying this must be, an alien vehicle. It could be one of our own vehicles, which uses electrogravitic propulsion system. They would generate a field like that as well, and it would spread out like that in the thin atmosphere up near where the space station is. But just have a look at that and see what you think. I found it rather interesting.
Sorry about that. We had
a glitch. Yeah, in your upper left side there, you see it zooming in on it. Now just watch that thing. When the space station moves, that thing just moves independently of it. So it's not something debris attached to the space station. And it is moving and not stationary in its orbit. Isn't that cool?
Wonder I wonder what the camera operator is saying right about now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I for some reason, I had different, there are a couple of different phrases in mind. How long was that? I read something, forgive me, I don't know when it was or where it was, but we've been up at the space station now for how many decades? I mean,
21 years, I think, something like that. It's so old now, it has to undergo massive maintenance. It's interesting that there's a Hopi prophecy that a lot of people have heard or read about. It says that a habitation in the sky will fall to the earth during the changes at the end of this.
Just what we need. Yeah. All right. Here comes the space station.
That won't burn up completely. I remember when the space lab itself came down in West Australia where I was living. Actually, I still have some of the glass fibers they used to wrap the oxygen tanks in, but not all of that burned up. And that was a very small version of the space station. So when it comes down, there'll be all kinds of junk fall and break apart. I don't know.
Can we send up the crew from Home Makeover? You know, isn't there? We'll just slap some wallpaper on.
Yeah, it'd be nice. But that changes to that could be from warfare where China or Russia use a satellite destroyer and impact the space station. See, the space station is not just America. It's a multinational project, and countries of all over the place have investments in there and technology in there. We do have one guy there that's a colonel, I think, at the moment, who's with Space Force. And since he's military and U.S., there's a little bit of a disagreement about whether he's allowed to stay on the space station. He'd have to go back down to Earth, because it would make it a military American-prone station by his rank. Anyway, who knows?
And now we're entering into a different series. He's getting kicked off the station, voted off the station. All right.
Now, the sun itself is reacting strangely. And if the period of the tribulation period we're talking about does tell us about irregularities in the sun causing the dark cloud to surround it and then causing it to burst out with a bright light burst that burns a third of the planet away. If that is the case, then the solar wind from that and the chunks and debris coming off of that kind of a shell explosion would affect all satellites, particularly the ones with a big cross-sectional area like the space station. So there are a number of things that could cause that, but I'm still impressed by the details, like the current event details that the Hopi prophecy, what they've been given. Because half of them or more are Christian, and the other are animists, with their old ways of worshiping with kachinas. The ones I was dealing with were on the Christian side. And when they had these dream visions and prophecies handed to their prophecy keepers, then I think, it's just like our prophets in the Christian world. And this is just more detail for our time now as we get close to the wire. Anyway. Oh, gosh, we were running a bit short of time. Slides 47 and 48, you can look at them later if you want. These are an analysis of what happened to India to compress it. It used to be much longer, like I said in my discussion of Atlantis. An asteroid caused it. They say it was due to collisions of the tectonic plates. And I say it didn't take hundreds of millions of years. This happened in one massive impact in one year. It started moving the bottom part of India, shoving it up into the Himalayas. And you'll see that this magnetic orientation of the rocks that are in the Himalayas shows that it was all folded up from seabed. With the exception of the timing in hundreds of millions of years, they are saying the same thing I did, that India used to be stretched out way down like that 80 to 60 MA thing, and that it was shoved up into Eurasia. Now, they show it as a plate outline around India, but it was actually almost closer together, and this plate business expanded after the expansion of the planet and after the Great Flood. So they haven't quite got the definition of the tectonic plate as a causal event correct, but they do show that India is much shorter than it used to be. Okay.
All right. Just to give you a heads up, we have about 5 minutes or about 4.5 minutes. So,
okay. All right. Good. Let's go. let's see. Yeah, earthquakes, 37, slide 37. Let's look at that.
All right.
Now, I do this, you know, every week and sometimes in the middle of the week for information I need. And I look here at the United States in close-up, and I see all these little earthquakes around the San Joaquin Valley and, you know, up from that on the right-hand side and then into the Oklahoma where the fracking is and then over into the Appalachians and Alaska. All those are very busy. And I'm seeing more stuff in the Cascadia beginning up in Washington and over in a little bit in the Yellowstone area that indicate to me that what the U.S. geologists are talking about is the nearness of the big one or big ones all together. And when we see these earthquakes happening like that, if you zoom in, just click the zoom button, you can see they are in areas, very, very dangerous areas, a salt and sea area down there, right in the, yeah, in your picture, you got it there, yeah. And you can just see these are fault lines that are known, but they're becoming very active and clustered around the salt and sea area and up in the east of the San Joaquin Valley in the ridge there. I keep an eye on this, as I say, daily, well, weekly and a couple times a week. I look at that. And if you click on slide 38, this is a picture of the global earthquake business. You can see that Central America and up toward the tip of Mexico, southern tip, all down the west coast of South America are not only active, but they are significant size earthquakes. Yeah, and we're seeing some of that over in the left there above the Horn of, or inside the Horn of Africa in the Mediterranean, near Greece and those areas there in Turkey.
Yeah, there was a big one in Turkey over the weekend, right? Turkey.
Yeah, seven some odd. Yeah, and you'll see the aftershocks up there. That's right. So, and of course in Indonesia, and you know, all through those islands there, you can see that reasonable sized earthquakes have been occurring in the last week. Those, the bigger the circle, of course, the stronger. And, so we keep an eye on that, and it's active as well as what we're seeing here in the United States. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to track the smaller earthquakes, except in the United States, because you have to have a lot of sensors in place near where these things are happening. And so we can do it in the States, but not overseas in, you know, Russia and Africa and all those places. Okay. And in slide 39, we see signs of volcanic activity on the horizon in the Big Island of Hawaii. You can see the two clusters there. There's new land or coastal area forming down that lower bunch of quakes there, which indicates, you know, increased magma flow. If you look kind of above those quake dots and to the left, it's a large volcano there, and you can see that the tectonic plate lines or, you know, tectonic the earthquake stress lines, the probability of it, starts at that volcano up there, that brown-looking triangle, and goes down the pointy parts of it. And so these are earthquake-prone zones there from volcanic activity. I don't know that I'd like to be living there at the moment, but anyway.
Oh, such a paradise, yet so precarious. Stanley, thank you so much. On this election day eve, thank you so very much for being part of the show and, you know, just talking about things that, not all election stuff. And I appreciate that. It's all good.
We get enough of that election stuff on TV.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Folks, that'll do it for me. Have a great night. We'll be talking to you again soon. HagmanReport.com. Please, HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that site as well as HagmanStore.com. Good night.